This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, everyone. This is Tracy welcoming you to Everyday Health, an Audio Journal program in which we share information about healthy living. This broadcast is for informational purposes only, and suggestions should always be discussed with your healthcare providers. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. This episode is going to be a two-part exploration promoting both physical and mental health. Our first segment will review the critical importance of hydration with information from the Mayo and Cleveland Clinics and the Environmental Working Group. Our second segment will be about how seeking adventures, whether in small or large ways, can benefit our wellness. Writers Amy Macklin and Eleni Gage provide multiple suggestions for doing so. We'll conclude, as we often do, with today's tip. So to begin, staying hydrated during this warm summer months is an important part of enjoying the season. Whether your plans include more walks, soaking up the sun, or taking that long-awaited vacation, make sure you drink enough water to stay hydrated. This is necessary as it will keep your body, and believe it or not, your mind, functioning at its best. So, how do you know if you're drinking enough water? Well, let's tap, if you'll forgive me, into the facts and explore some of the best tips to keep you hydrated. Water is critical to overall health. Every single cell, tissue, and organ in the human body relies on water to function properly. According to the Mayo Clinic, water makes up about 50 to 70% of body weight. So, how can losing just a fraction of water negatively affect your body and mind? Well, it's all about dehydration, when the body does not have enough water to perform normal function. Water is critical to our health because it regulates our body temperature, flushes waste from our bodies, supports a healthy immune system, lubricates and cushions joints, promotes healthy digestion, and actually improves memory, alertness, mood, and sleep quality. For the average healthy adult, the general recommendation for water intake is what we've all heard, 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. That's 64 ounces. Everyone's needs vary, however, depending on their activity level and even the climate in which they live. So, how much water do we actually need to drink in order to stay hydrated? Here are some general guidelines according to the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. For men, about 13 cups of total beverages, including water, 100 ounces, and for women, about 9 cups of total beverages, including water, that's 74 ounces. Other water-based beverages, of course, such as tea, milk, and coffee, can contribute to this total beverage amount recommendation. Plain water is best and calorie-free, so aim for most of your 9 to 13 cups to be water. Here are some factors that may increase your requirements that you might want to consider. Your activity level. The general rule is if you break a sweat, be sure to replace what you've lost. The key is to drink water before, during, and after your activity. Climate. If you live in a hot and humid area, you're most likely to sweat more, which will cause you to dehydrate much more quickly than in cooler places. And were you aware that being in a higher altitude, like the mountains, can simply cause you to be dehydrated? That goes for flying on an airplane as well. Be sure to keep plenty of water on hand wherever you may be. And your overall health is a factor. While it's important to stay hydrated every day, it becomes even more critical when you're sick. Fevers, vomiting, and diarrhea can cause severe dehydration, as do bladder infections and urinary tract infections known as UTIs. Increasing fluid intake is an important part of a successful recovery. So now you know how much water you need to drink for optimum hydration, but how do you hit that mark without falling short? Here's some quick tips to ensure you're getting your ounces in. Drink about 8 ounces of water upon waking and before bedtime. Did you know your body loses water while you sleep? Throughout the day, drink water to maintain a healthy balance. Please do not wait until you're thirsty to start guzzling down your ounces. Were you aware that by the time you start to feel thirsty, you could have lost 2 or 3 cups of your total body water composition? Wow! Coffee and tea provide a significant amount of hydration, but you know, you've got to opt for sugar-free and skip the cream if you can. You can infuse water with slices of fruit, veggies, or herbs for a refreshing and tasty change. I'll have more about that in today's tip. Use a favorite water bottle. That's a fun way to show off your personality and enjoy your sips. And do not, please, try to substitute alcohol for water. Alcohol is a diuretic that will cause you to become dehydrated. And no, I'm sorry, the ice does not count. Here's a fun fact, though. Approximately 20% of your fluid intake comes from food, with the remaining 80% from beverages. This is great news for those who love their fruits and veggies. Check out these foods that are delicious and hydrating. Cucumbers, celery, tomatoes, watermelon, of course, strawberries, grapefruit, peppers, cauliflower, that one surprised me, spinach, radishes, and broccoli. So what are the signs if one is becoming dehydrated? Because even with the best intentions and effort, it can occur, especially if you're having fun in the summer sun. Here are some important signs to consider. Great thirst, flushed skin, a headache, fatigue, increased body temperature, weakness, any signs of dizziness, faster breathing or a faster pulse rate, a dry mouth, irritability, constipation, nausea, vomiting, or dark urine. So what to do if we experience dehydration? If you or someone you're with is experiencing any of these signs, the first thing to reach for, and I'm sure you've guessed it, a glass or two of water. Yes, water is the best when it comes to hydration. If your body is depleted of nutrients and electrolytes, however, you may want to try these other options that will have you replenished and hydrated in no time. Electrolyte-infused water, a bit more about that in a moment, Pedialyte, Gatorade, coconut water, or watermelon. As the name implies, watermelon contains 92% water. And here are some tips for staying cool. When it comes to proper hydration, regulating a healthy body temperature goes hand in hand with drinking plenty of water throughout the day. Here are some ways to stay cool and look that way this summer. Wear a wide-brimmed hat. Opt for light-colored clothing. Wear loose-fitting, lightweight clothes in breathable fabrics. And do feel free to mist yourself with a spray bottle if you feel like you're overheated. And also, with regard to dehydration, we often know that age is an important factor, because it's no secret that our bodies change as we age. But what may surprise you is that one of those changes involves our sense of thirst. As we age, our bodies do not demand water like it used to when we were younger. The issue with that, of course, is that you still need fluids to function, and not drinking enough water, of course, puts us in danger of that dehydration. Many people 65 and older do not drink enough liquid, says geriatric clinical nurse specialist Anne Vanderbilt, CNS. We take a closer look at the issue here. Older adults are at a greater risk because of how body composition changes with age. Those in the 65 and older crowd simply have less water in their bodies than younger adults or children, and decreased kidney function can also affect fluid levels. The reduction in thirst that comes with age can keep that already low supply from being replenished. By the time an older adult feels thirsty, that's already an indication of early dehydration, says Vanderbilt. Water is critically necessary for nearly every bodily function, as you've heard, and not getting enough can have serious health consequences. Dehydration is a very common cause of hospitalization among those 65 and older. And adding to the problem, is that symptoms of dehydration in older adults often go unrecognized. Symptoms can be easily attributed to other medical conditions, medications, or even natural effects of aging. Someone who's dehydrated also can seem confused, cranky, or anxious. And those symptoms may appear in much worse in someone who has dementia. It's estimated that about 50% of people age 85 and older have dementia. Persistent dehydration that causes more severe symptoms can land older adults in the ER or hospital. So, of course, we know we've heard about consuming more fluids, and water's ideal. We know that too. But there are plenty of other options. Cow's milk or milk alternatives offer hydration and nutrition. Same for fruit juices, although one must consider that juices are high in sugar, especially if one has diabetes. So if you do want to have juice, consider a mix of it with water, if that is a concern for you. And caffeinated beverages like tea and coffee are great, but like alcohol, they have a diuretic effect. You will urinate more, an obvious way to lose fluid. So while it's okay to enjoy those drinks in moderation, don't make them a significant part of your daily fluid intake, particularly if you are older. Build hydration into your routine and consistently sip throughout the day, particularly when temperatures begin to climb. What I often see in older advanced adults, people in their 80s and 90s, is that they cannot sit down and drink a full 8-ounce glass of water, notes Vanderbilt. It fills them up, it causes bloating, and then it makes them run to the bathroom. So small sips throughout the day are much better and easier to consume. And of course, people with certain medical conditions, for an example, a heart failure, may have more specific fluid needs. Make sure to consult with your healthcare provider before making any significant fluid intake changes. And of course, the final thought, drink up. Avoiding dehydration is truly as simple as drinking more fluids, Vanderbilt says. It's important to stay hydrated, of course, at any age, but risks associated with dehydration grow with the number of birthday candles on your cake. Drinking water is something you need to focus on more as you age, she encourages. Make it a habit, especially since your body might not be sending you the message that you are thirsty. And with regard to having waters or having enhanced waters, the Environmental Working Group, the EWG.org, does not evaluate bottled waters or electrolyte-infused waters in their EWG Food Scores database, but instead, they'll track powdered electrolyte drink mixes and packaged beverages based on nutrition, ingredient concerns, and processing levels. Key factors to consider are sodium levels, because many commercial electrolyte packets pack 25 to 75% of the recommended daily sodium intake in a single serving, which is totally unnecessary unless you're doing very intense, prolonged exercise. And pre-mixed bottled electrolyte waters or powdered sticks often rely on high amounts of sugar or sugar substitutes to mask mineral tastes. And the EWG regularly classifies flavored drink mixes as moderately or highly processed due to quote-unquote natural flavors, citric acid, and stabilizers. So it's very important that if you decide to enhance your water in that way, check it out. And again, I highly recommend the environmentalworkinggroup.org's website to check about that or any other concerns you have about things you ingest or put on your body. And now for some mental health thoughts. When we think of adventure, we probably imagine daring feats and faraway places and fearless people who are not saddled with desk jobs. Maybe someone like Isabella Bird, the Victorian-era explorer who climbed the Mauna Loa volcano in Hawaii and slept in a tent in Tibet on a carpet made of yak hair. But believe it or not, every one of us is wired to seek new experiences. even those of us with lower back pain ill-suited for tent living. It started, of course, with our ancestors who used novelty for survival. They were scanning that horizon, and that enabled them to spot snarling beasts or other threats. But to this day, discovery rewards us with a burst of that feel-good chemical dopamine, and research finds that discovering new things and novelty can enhance our memory, increase motivation, and boost our mood. Because all these benefits are too good to miss, here are a collection of ideas for more adventurous living. You can make the stakes as high or as low as you want. You could try a new sandwich, go somewhere new, stay up really late, or wake up really early. Your appetite for risk is much less important than your capacity to be curious. So get out there and adventure. And anyone who's ever gone to summer camp or finally worked up the courage to jump off the high dive or climb the tallest boulder knows that physical adventure, what it can do for your self-confidence. It's a feeling that can last long after summer ends, says Rachel O'Neill, the Associate Director of Adventure Treks, an outdoor adventure camp. Even if you're a bit beyond the teenage years, you can foster the same type of personal growth by pushing your limits. We encounter a variety of challenges throughout our lives, physically and emotionally, says Paige Davis, the president of Adventure Women, a travel company that plans active trips for women worldwide. Adventure travel lets you confront fears and insecurities and emerge feeling with a sense of triumph. Another idea is reframe fear as excitement. If your youthful daring do has turned into daring don't you dare, that's normal, Davis says. As we age, many of us experience increased fear and hesitancy. But you can shift that fear to excitement by redirecting your focus from the risks to the rewards, she explains. The reward could be geographical, spiritual, or simply a pure thrill. And a plus one can provide practical and emotional support for both a low-key afternoon or a high-adventure trip. If you don't have a like-minded friend, you can check out local Facebook groups or clubs devoted to safe, active pursuits. Learn to enjoy the ride. It is not necessarily about reaching an end goal. It's about the journey, doing things we thought we could not do or have been told we could not do, O'Neill says. We are all so much stronger mentally and physically than we give ourselves credit for. We just have to allow ourselves the opportunity to flourish, to start a hard thing, and realize it is okay to hit bumps along the way. And if you are a person who has any long-term relationship that might start to feel a bit old hat, you could participate in a physical challenge. According to happiness researcher Sonia Lyubomirsky, PhD and author of The How of Happiness, physical challenges can elicit a chemical rush that actually feels like falling in love. Or you could try emotional risk-taking with psychotherapist Esther Perel's card game. It's called Where Should We Begin? You can check it out at game.esther, that's EstherPerel.com. It's $40. The idea is to reignite the spark by fostering curiosity through conversational prompts like something I believe in but have not said out loud, or a story I tell about myself that isn't entirely true. It feels just a bit dangerous, but you can do it while sitting on the couch. You can play with friends, family, or even close colleagues with whom you feel safe to do so. Another great tip is to fly solo. Our relationship with ourselves is like any other relationship. To nurture it, we need quality time together, says Netta Weinstein, a PhD and professor of clinical and social psychology at the University of Reading in England, and co-author of the book Solitude, The Science and Power of Being Alone. When we spend time alone, we are not shifting away from others, Weinstein says. We are shifting toward ourselves. According to her research, people who prioritize self-reflection find more meaning in their life. Suggestions for your next one-on-one with you. go to a restaurant. Chances are you won't be the only lone diner. According to the reservation platform OpenTable, solo bookings have increased more than any other party size in the past 2 years. At a table, or bar stool for one, we can fully immerse ourselves in the sensory experience. When people were talking to other people and dining with them, we might realize the food tastes great, but we also are a bit distracted. Weinstein says when you go solo, you can enjoy the flavors, sounds, and smells, and the fact that no one else will ask you for a bite. Next, go somewhere new. Exploring without a companion gives you an opportunity to discover what really ignites your interest, Weinstein says. You can focus on your thoughts and let them build on each other. Solitary time, she says, is when she has her deepest ideas. And of course, we've heard this before, and it's worth repeating. Take a nature walk. Nature is a common trigger for what researchers call peak experiences, moments when we're caught up in wonder and awe, and we can find them anywhere. We, of course, can't force peak experiences, but the tranquility of solitude may leave us much more open to them, Weinstein says. The joy we feel isn't the active, energetic kind. It's a sense of peace. We can have tremendous moments when we feel in touch with ourselves, but also part of something much bigger. And if you decide not to go solo to a new restaurant or place, head to the library for a low-risk way to try different cookbooks, even offbeat ones like the Star Trek cookbook or the 1983 classic Quiche, Quiche, and Quiche, or have a weeknight dinner party. It's fine if you just get a pizza. The point is to make merry on a different day that you don't usually do so. And as we heard before about being outside, think about spending the entire day that way. Eat, read, daydream, nap, hike, be out of doors. And of course, this is the season to do so. You can stop at a new place for your morning coffee. Bonus points if you get something really different than you've never had before. Or move in a new way. Instead, take that whole day outside to exercise or work out in your backyard instead of your basement. Skip your spin class and try African dance. You can search lots of that on the YouTube. Or swap Pilates for a long contemplative walk by yourself. Try anything that speaks to you. And if it's safe to do so, this is a little bit of a novel idea, rearrange your furniture. Will a newly feng shuied living room change your life? Well, you won't know until you've moved off that couch. And do consider listening to something different. If you usually listen to just music, or only a podcast, or only audiobooks, switch it up, or really take a risk and enjoy silence. If you do decide to discover new music, try the free internet radio and social networking platform 8Tracks. It's 8, the number, the numeral 8, 8Tracks.com. You can discover members' playlists or upload your own. So suggestions to do things that are a little bit adventurous and get you out there. But before we finish today, of course, I want to give you today's tip, which is some ideas for making that fruit water. Here are the top flavor combinations that you could try if you're so inclined. Cucumber and lime, strawberry, cucumber, mint, and lime. That's a classic spa-style blend that balances sweet and herbal notes. Or how about this? Pineapple and ginger, blackberry and sage, or orange and raspberry. So here's some quick tips. Thinly slice or halve your berries. They release much more flavor that way. And muddle the herbs. Gently crush mint, basil, or rosemary to bring out natural oils. Include sage in that as well. And chill the water. Let it sit in your fridge for 2 to 4 hours before you drink it. And refill it. You can add more fresh water to the same fruit and veggie mix up to 2 times before the flavor begins to fade. And thank you so much for joining us for Everyday Health. As you know, our broadcast is for informational purposes only, and suggestions should always be discussed with your healthcare providers. Our program is a production of Audio Journal, and we are a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule in large print or braille, please call us at 508-797-1117. Editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. Remember, by making small adjustments and embracing healthy habits, you can lead a fulfilling and health-conscious life. Please stay tuned for more informative broadcasts and take care of yourselves. We wish you health every day.
And now, Medical Myths and Facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
Most people know that ticks can spread Lyme disease, but there's another tick-borne condition that's becoming increasingly common, alpha-gal syndrome, an allergy to red meat that can develop after the bite of the Lone Star tick. Unlike most food allergies, alpha-gal syndrome is caused by an allergy to a sugar molecule called alpha-gal, which is found in mammals. After a tick bite, the immune system may become sensitized, and eating beef, pork, lamb, venison, or other mammalian meat can trigger an allergic reaction. One of the most unusual features is that symptoms are delayed. Instead of occurring within minutes, they usually begin 3 to 6 hours after eating, often in the middle of the night after an evening meal. Symptoms may include hives, itching, swelling, abdominal pain, nausea, diarrhea, wheezing, or in severe cases, life-threatening anaphylaxis. A common question is, can I still eat chicken? The answer is yes. Alpha-gal is not found in birds or fish, so chicken, turkey, eggs, fish, and shellfish are generally safe. The allergy is directed at mammalian meat, not poultry or seafood. However, some people with alpha-gal syndrome also react to products made from mammals, including gelatin found in some foods and medications. A smaller number develop symptoms after consuming high-fat dairy products, such as ice cream or heavy cream. Anyone diagnosed with alpha-gal syndrome should also let their healthcare providers know before receiving certain medications or medical products that may contain mammalian ingredients. The condition is becoming more common as the Lone Star tick expands into new parts of the United States, including areas of the Northeast, such as the Cape, Nantucket, and Martha's Vineyard. Fortunately, diagnosis is straightforward with a careful history and a blood test for alpha-gal antibodies. The best treatment is avoiding the foods that trigger symptoms. Carrying an epinephrine auto-injector if you've had severe reactions, and most importantly, preventing future tick bites. Wear long sleeves and pants in wooded or grassy areas. Use EPA-approved insect repellents. Perform careful tick checks after being outdoors, and remove ticks promptly. There is encouraging news. In many people, alpha-gal antibody levels gradually decline over time, especially if additional tick bites are avoided. Some patients are eventually able to regain the ability to eat certain mammalian foods under the supervision of an allergist. The key message is simple. If you develop unexplained allergic reactions or episodes of hives and abdominal pain several hours after eating red meat, especially if you've had a tick bite, ask your healthcare provider about alpha-gal syndrome. Early recognition can prevent serious reactions and help people safely manage these unique conditions.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.